We probably will end up not doing the Major Arcana until tomorrow. So you'll still have to use your intuition and your vision of the card when you read the Major Arcana. Don't forget, let the card tell you the story. Let the action tell you the story. Rightio? So one of the things that we want to study with the Wheel of Fortune, and the Wheel of Fortune reading actually comes in three phases. You put down two, your handouts. So I'm only going to hand you this one at a time. There are actually three handouts to show the three different phases. Okay. Now this is the way the Wheel of Fortune gets laid out at the beginning. Okay. You start, the circle on your left, as you can see, is the past. The circle at the present is in the middle, and the circle of the future is at the right. And the numbers are the order in which I lay them down. Again, you guys, if you find you want to do something differently or something means something different to you, that you really should go with that, okay? It's not that I'm ambivalent about the meanings of things, as you can tell, I'm not. But I want you guys to, you know, if I over many years think that, well, this really means this to me and that's all there is to it, that's the same for you, you know? What you find is different than the books or than what I teach you, then it's yours. It's yours, so own it. So if you find as you do the Wheel of Fortune after 1 year, 2 years, 10 years, 20, and you change it in some way, do it. Change it in some way. This is the way, this is the actual way I learned it, and then this is actually the way I still do it. Because it's very effective for me. It's just that effective for me. So you put the past down first, 1, 2, 3, 4. Then you go over to the middle of the present, number 5, and you just put the center card of the present, and then you go 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. 13 cards in the, 13, that's the 13th card there. And then you go over to the bottom of the future and work up or around in a counterclockwise order. Don't ask me why it's counterclockwise. It's just that's how it was taught to me by this gypsy person, who was sadly also a heroin addict, but I'm sure she must be in spirit by now. Lovely, beautiful lady, but God bless her. Looked like a ghost. Yeah, teeny little wisp of a thing. Okay. So that's how you lay it down. And what you do is you read this. Now, a lot of times people will ask me, well, where does the past start? Does it start with number one? Actually, no. You actually use your intuition to see where you start in each circle. And then you go around the circle in terms of the chronology. That was hard for me at first. When she told me that, I'm a very left-brain person, and so when she told me that, I was not a happy camper, because I wanted to know when it starts, when it ends, precisely, you know, everything, the direction it goes to. Now, usually, I, again, read it, besides lay it down in clockwise order. When I'm reading the past, present, and future, I also read it in clockwise order. Okay, but again, if you feel otherwise, then I want you to do that. But try it this way first. Yes.
When you're deciding intuitively where it starts for you, are the cards turned face down?
No, you're up. You're looking at the cards. You're looking at the cards. Yeah.
When you say start, you're talking about you still start in the past.
You start in the past. You're right. But I'm talking about within each circle, you kind of let your intuition pull you to the first card you want to talk about. The first card you want to talk about is where you start your reading about that circle. And then you go around the circle in a counterclockwise order. Now, just because it's the first card you want to talk about does not always mean that it's the first card in the sequence of events or the chronology. But that's where you should start. And it's often where the chronology starts, but not always. Okay? It certainly sometimes can be the most important situation that you are supposed to talk about, okay? So what I want you to do now, I am so mischievous. You get to do the Wheel of Fortune, past, present, and future right now with a partner. So here's the, it's an important thing, you guys, when you see, and I'm glad this just came up for Sherry, because when you see, for instance, the Nine of Pentacles reversed, or in any reading, unless you were doing an astrological reading and it's in a particular house, you don't know if it's the for the person you're reading or for someone else in the person's life. So you have to say if you get the Nine of Pentacles reversed, who's having really hard time with work or having lots of disappointments with work? Is that you? Is it your husband? Is it so-and-so? Would you know, that kind of thing. Let your client tell you whom the card is for, all right? Because if you don't, you're going to assume everything is for that one individual, and then like in mediumship, you're giving all the messages to one person, which could be the wrong person. You're going to get cards about a whole bunch of different people. And so since that's the case, one of the things that you need to do is to keep yourself open to letting it be whomever or whoever it's going to be. So you ask, just ask your client. You know, is this king your husband? Is this person who has this new project coming? Is that person you? Do you have a new project? Or is this one of your kids or someone significant in your life? That kind of thing. Okay? All right. And then the other thing is, in terms of I'm going to tell you, I told you that I go around the circle counterclockwise once I find the starting card. But you don't have to do that. If you are compelled to go like this in the circle, like if you start up here and you want to go over there and then want to go over there, then you keep yourself going where you're compelled to go. Or if you want to go around the circle in a clockwise position, then you go where you want to go. Everybody understand? Okay, good. Excellent. George?
Does this layout represent in any way the 12 houses?
Not yet. It will. And indeed, once you do this layout for a while, you'll be able to put the whole thing down, read the past, present, and future without moving the cards around. Okay? So, yeah. Okay, so switch. Any questions? Any other questions? Okay, switch. It gives you some insight about past and present and future and what and important issues and that type of thing. Well, get ready to throw that into a whole nother Cuisinart. Because now we're going to take this very reading and turn it into a life path astrological 12 house reading using the exact same layout and cards. Okay. Yes, indeed. Oh, poor Debbie. No, you didn't have to leave the cards out. I don't mean using the exact same cards you had out now. Using the exact same cards for you to learn how to do this in the future. No, I wanted you to do it without phase two so that you could see just this past, present, and future experience in and of itself is pretty telling. And even if you were to only do that, you'd have a lot of good information for a pretty complete reading, right? But this is going to take you all the further. Now, how many people here, I think I asked this, but how many people here know astrology? Okay. Aren't you glad you came for the day you already know everything? Okay, well, here's, all right, and I'm going to actually just, this is going to be a little bit of a challenge, because I want everybody to kind of get out of your seat. I'm going to do just a sample gem cast so that you can see the 12 houses and the different planets. And we're going to then go into the, and then I'm actually going to give this set away. If I could open this set. Okay. So let's have one of the ends of the tables. So everybody gather around. Now I want you to see here that these are the 12 houses of the zodiac. Okay, so for those of you that don't know astrology, you do at least have seen maybe your natal chart. Have you seen your natal chart with the, so this is the first, this is the horizon line here. Okay, and the first house, and it goes then in a counterclockwise, and maybe that's why the gypsy lady taught me to read counterclockwise, I don't know. Okay, so each house is a different segment of your life. Okay, the first house is your self-expression, your self-identity, the face you want to put in the world, the impact you want to make outwardly, but not personal creative expression. It's more like your definition of yourself and how you want to appear. Okay, the second house is your values, and because it's your values, it's also your income. Okay, and where's Debbie?
Right here.
Chime in anytime.
Oh, okay.
And you too, Mr. Astrology back there. You too, chime in anytime if I miss anything. Okay, John? All right. Okay. So the second house is your value system, your values, your income. It is your source of income and how you earn your income. Okay, the third house is ruled by Mercury. So we know that's mind and communication. And it also, besides mind and communication, it's also small trips. Okay, like places under 500 miles, easily under 500 miles. Trips by car and your siblings. It's also young children, right? But not necessarily your children, right? It's young children, okay? It's also small writing, okay? It's not writing books, it's writing poetry, blogs, articles, that type of thing. So Mercury rules a lot of different things, all right? This, a lot of this is going to be on this here, so, and on your, we're going to have a handout similar to this for the Wheel of Fortune, okay? So, and then fourth house is your home and family, and pretty much that's, and sometimes your mother also, your mother. If your mother isn't the domineering type of mother, if your mother was the patriarch, then it's, she's in your 10th house. But usually it's your mother. Fifth house is creativity. That's why children are in the fifth house, because they're physical creativity, but they're also it's also romance and children. And it's ruled by Leo. You will also get stage actors and people who write plays and people who work with actors. And not, this is not television actors, this is stage actors. Okay, all right. Okay, so sixth house is your daily work. We've talked a lot about that already this week, right? Daily work, daily health, coworkers, and pets. And of course, we've talked about how your daily work is going to influence how your health is, because what you do every day, what you expose yourself every day is going to impact your sense of well-being. Okay, so seventh is partners. That includes marriage partners as well as business partners, okay? So all sorts of partnership, all right? That is also, and we'll do this, all of these houses reverse for your partner in your life. We'll do that up on the board, because you'll go crazy, and we'll be standing here till Tuesday if we do that, okay? So seventh house is partners and significant others, significant relationships, marriage. It doesn't have to be legal, okay? It doesn't have to be, you don't have to have a marriage certificate, you don't have to have a legal partnership in business if it's partnering kind of activity. Eighth house is intimacy, transformation, sex, and other people's money. Other people's money. So, yeah. This would also include, the eighth house would also be where you would get inheritance, and would also be where you would get, if you were getting a divorce, you would get your, what did you say?
Prostitutes?
Well, sure, they make money and sex, so. You doubly see eighth house prostitutes, but I don't know that you'll be reading for a lot of those. Okay.
Sharon, it's also the partner's money.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. The eighth house is your partner's money. It's other people's money. It's money from your partner. It's also your shared life with your partner. The house you own together, the money you share together, the things that you share together. Okay? Okay, ninth house is the house of the higher mind. Okay? It includes, and we've talked a lot about the ninth house this week too. It includes traveling. Let's see what else it says here. Philosophy, travel, and faith. It also includes industries like publishing, anything that requires you to travel a lot, anything that, and when I say publishing, this is not the articles or poetry publishing. This is big publishing, book publishing. It's writing as well. It's also universities, teaching any higher classes, including like classes like these would be ninth house. Going to them or taking them or leading them would be ninth house, okay? All right, 10th house is your career, your status, your reputation. It's ruled by Saturn. It's hard work, but it also builds your career, okay? But for those people who don't have a career, they could also get a lot of 10th house activity because the 10th house is what you wish to achieve, what you wish to accomplish, the reach you have, okay? Not your reach as in Jupiter, which is 9th house, which is expansion and travel and flight, but your reach to your goals. And that's what Saturn is, what you wish to achieve, okay? It's a 10th house. Okay, the 11th house is groups, friends, networking, and service to mankind. The 11th house, I have also find, and tell me if you guys agree, that the 11th house also, whenever there's a psychology, the 11th house is the house of psychology. Is that, do you feel that?
Counseling,
yeah, counseling, psychology practices. You could get somebody who in that house that wants to become a counselor, but also it's one's psyche, it's one's psychology, one's own psychological makeup as well. The 11th house.
Your hopes and wishes.
Your hopes and wishes.
Yes, and then okay. The 9th house, you want to add litigation, legal issues, and religion.
Religion, yes, I have faith in that, I think, but I may not have said that. But litigation, I also get litigation in the 8th because it involves other people's money.
Okay, that's...
So I often see lawyers and stuff in the 8th when they're expecting money from somebody else, either an inheritance or a claim. Or, you know, that type of thing, when they're expecting insurance money, sure. That type of thing. Right. Okay, so 12th house, the last house, that's Pisces, that's ruled by Neptune. It's everything under the water, underneath everything that's hidden. This is your dream life. This is your subconscious, unconscious. It's also prison. It's also psychism. Okay, and so everything that Neptune rules, let's see what it sees.
It's also health and health institutions.
Health institutions.
Is an enemy.
Did you say health?
Health. Health institutions.
How is it health?
Health clinics.
Pisces. Health clinics.
Hospitals.
Oh, clinics. The clinics. But it's not
clinics,
your own health.
No, no.
Okay.
No,
all right.
No,
all right.
No.
Okay.
It's institutions.
Okay.
Prison institutions.
Yes, prison. Yes, it's places where you have to stay a long time. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the hospitals, health institutions, mm-hmm. prisons, mm-hmm. you know, penal societies. It's also things that are unknown to you. Mm-hmm. So all your karmic lessons will be found in the 12th house. Mm-hmm. Things that are coming to you from a past life mm-hmm. will be discovered through the 12th house cards. The cards that fall in the 12th house. So
yeah, is all this defined somewhere in a chart that we're doing?
Most of this is, and we'll go over this on the handout that I'm going to be giving you next, okay? So, and now I just wanted to show you these. These are the planets, and this is how you do a gem cast reading, is you just drop the stones, and the planets will fall into certain houses. And each planet, like Earth, represents thoroughness and attention to detail, and that's touching Mercury right there. And Mercury is your mind, your expansion of mind, your thoughtfulness, contemplative, and mental creation. And so I have to be very thorough in my mental creation. And as you see, there's nothing in the 7th house. No, and that's fine with me. Okay, and so each one of these is a different, each one of these is a different planet, and I've got a lot of things in the first house, and indeed even amethyst, which is Pluto, which is transformation. But see, then there's Saturn, which is hard work, hard work, hard work, hard work, all the time, all the time, all the time. That also means I need to get back on my diet. So each one of these different things mean different things, and I did talk about yesterday how to show you how this actually, when you throw this, I think there's one page in here, all of this talks about all of these different things in depth, okay? But this one page, you could literally do a reading without ever reading the rest of the book by finding the stone, what it means, in which house it lands, and what that means. So, and I told you, I'd show you guys that today. We needed to use it for our discussion of the 10 houses. Because I am going to give you a handout with the 12 houses on it, but it's going to be in cards. This is the natal chart. This is how it looks in astrology. But with cards, it's going to look a little bit different, especially with a path that we have in there. Any questions about the houses? Any questions about anything? Any of that one?
How often do you do this?
How often do you do the Wheel of Fortune, or this, the Gemcast?
Yeah, the Gemcast,
I actually do it sometimes when I just have a real simple question about anything, and then I look in the house. I do look at all of the general things, but I look mostly for those kind of planets that will actually, in that house that speaks to that question. You know, should, any kind of thing, should there be a move soon, or should I, you know, work on this book or that book? You know, then where the Mercury falls and where the Saturn falls will tell me what kind of book to write, depending on which house it's in. So whenever it's a very swift, down and dirty way to give yourself a reading or give anyone a reading. So, but the Wheel of Fortune you will do for clients. And of course you can do the Wheel of Fortune. I do the Wheel of Fortune for myself whenever I use the card.